Now, on the tee, it's Maddie and the Caddy. Here's Matt Barry and Michael Collins.
Oh, after an unplanned hiatus, your tee box dysfunction is back. Alongside the Caddy,
Michael Collins.
I am the Maddie. This is Maddie and the Caddy, the podcast. We return back bigger, better, and more rambunctious than ever. Ryan Palmer is going to be our guest today, a winner at Zurich with John Rahm. Looking forward to catching up with Ryan Palmer. The social media at Maddie and Caddy, M-A-T-T-Y, the word and, C-A-D-D-I-E. That is both the Instagram, that is both the Twitter. Caddy, I started off by saying we come off an unplanned hiatus. We'll just keep it at this. You got two podcasts the week after the Masters. You got one podcast we recorded that you'll never hear, and then you have this week. So really, we're still on par. We're still on average.
Yeah, you're still averaging one podcast a week. We recorded a killer podcast last week. You'll never hear it.
Ever.
Ever. You know what? We shouldn't say that. You know what? When we are no longer employees of the Disney Corporation, somebody might accidentally find it and let it go. But until that happens, nope.
Yeah, keep this up. You'll be a former employee before you get done putting down your headset today.
Welcome to Walmart. Here's your cart.
Also, I should warn you before we get into this podcast that producer Drew is back from his hiatus in Arizona, and he was trying to get us to do a mic check. We couldn't do that properly. And then he was giving us the rundown for what live reads we have to do for the podcast today. Not saying do them now, just in what order they were doing them. And then we sat here in silence for 2 minutes, and he looks at me. He's like, dude, go. So we're in mid-season form.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's so funny is that even talking about, man, you're good. We didn't actually take a week off, even though it feels like we took a week off. Boy, we acting like we took a week off. Don't know. Well, hey, what does this button do?
Yeah, we act like we got five cans of swing lube in us. Speaking of swing lube, Tiger
Ooh,
Woods.
Murray Brothers Caddyshack. Hello. Oh,
yeah, what do you want to get into? You tell me. Do you want to lead with Tiger not playing at Quail Hollow, which I don't think is a big deal at all?
What? Let's start with where we left. Let's start from back then because it was awesome. The Murray Brothers Caddyshack outing in St. Augustine at the King and the Bear, and then the events that happened at the World Golf Village, the Renaissance. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I got to put this out there. I'm a Marriott dude, right? And that's part of the Marriott family.
Yeah.
By the hotel slipping.
Why? They didn't have your coffee maker?
It was dirty, man.
Like, you understand? I don't.
The crib's dirty, yo.
Like, yeah, the room was dirty.
Yeah. Nah,
like, what kind of dirty are we talking about? Like,
I'm talking about like
rogue hair dirty or like.
Well, like a murder occurred and they didn't bother vacuuming. So somebody was eating corn chips while they killed somebody. And then nobody even bothered to vacuum up the
corn chips. There was blood on the ground?
I mean, I don't know what was on the carpet other than the corn chips or what made the dark marks on the car. I don't know. All I know was I was just checking in. And so, yeah.
That's all.
Look, as a former caddy, it takes a lot to freak me out.
What is that? What does being a former caddy have to do with freaking you out? Like you guys have some.
Caddy hotels, bruh.
Oh, okay.
Let me teach you about some caddy hotels.
Well, let me teach myself. You how to preface things properly so we know what you mean by former caddy.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about prefacing. We're going to talk about reads. Just stay silent for a second. It takes a lot to kind of gross me, freak me out when it comes to a room. And this one, I actually just was like, nah, this is not going to work. And I got there so late the first night and just, I was so tired. I just fell asleep and then woke up the next day and was like, number one, I'm not showering in here because I'm nervous. And then after looking at the floor, I was like, yeah, nah. So I went downstairs and was like, y'all got to get me out of here.
All right. So this actually stumbles us into a good topic somehow.
Apparently, like you said, somebody didn't tip.
How far would you be willing to go? To stay, like, I would stay in a place like that is accustomed as I am to, you know, hotels and all of that. I would stay in a place that you're talking about if it meant the next morning I could wake up and play the old course at St. Andrews and do a whole golf trip. What's the worst would go at a hotel to be able to do a dream sporting trip?
I would stay in a bedbug infested caddy hotel if it meant that I could play Augusta for 2 days. 2 days.
Ooh.
And 2 days meaning, so like, I stay in a nasty flea ridden hotel that's like, there could actually be tape still up. You know what I mean? And the dude, hey man, I'm here to do, I gotta do some fingerprinting. Yeah, come on in, man. I'm playing Augusta tomorrow.
Oh, is this room service? No, it's CSI. Nah.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Can you help me with this powder? Can you help me with this powder? Yeah, I got you. Come on in. Like, not only am I playing Augusta, but then I'm going to get to, like, eat there and get a champion's locker room and then play the par three.
Yep. Okay.
Of course, because that's, I still never got to do that. So that I would stay at a murder scene for that.
You know what? I would bunk with you at a murder scene if we got to do Thursday through Sunday. Like, if we got
like
to do
4 days?
4 days.
Yeah. Give me two at Augusta and then, like, two days at one of the other amazing courses that's close by.
Yeah.
Like maybe a day at Augusta Country Club itself. And
okay.
And a day at like, I forget where that Nike event was that me and Marty were at. Mm. So.
The one in New York?
Sage Valley, I think that's the name of it.
Oh, did you do Sage Valley thing this year?
Nah, they didn't have anything there this year. I don't think so.
Nike.
Or they didn't tell me about
Nike
it.
Nike cutting back?
Either or maybe they just cut me out.
That's true, too. Hey,
but I was at the New York thing, so I don't know. Anyway, the whole point is, like, the hotel was not up to par, up to standard. But then the irony is after playing golf with the Taco Lou dudes.
I love Taco Lou, yep.
Oh, bruh. So if you look at my Instagram, I put a picture of my team up there.
Yeah.
And to say, the picture looks like it should have been posted at 4:20 in the afternoon.
How'd you guys perform?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Even better.
Yeah. We had so much fun that I made the mistake of, because it poured down rain. All of us except one of us had rain gear. So we actually, Bill Murray himself held the group up.
How'd you handle that?
Because he didn't want to play when it was pouring down rain.
Did you buzz the tower? Send him a warning shot?
I rolled up on him, though. And then I saw it was him. I was like, all right, you know what? Like, this caddy's team. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's family. So I'm not going to take him out. So I was like, oh, so this is why we're not playing? Because there's no lightning or anything? Nobody wants to get wet now? Okay. Like, and laughing jokingly.
Sure.
So overall,
the experience was a 10 out of 10.
It was absolutely amazing, but I fell asleep when I got back. I went and took a nap. I was going to take a nap, and that nap ended up, I didn't wake up till like 2 o'clock in the morning and missed all the Friday night concert.
Oh, you're a moron.
I know, I messed up.
You do this. This is your problem.
Well, here's the thing. I see, because back in the comedy day, I could do that. Go out, go crazy in the daytime, have a good time, go back, take a nap for an hour, get up, roll out until 4 o'clock in the morning. Like it was, I was just going to go, yeah, man, I'll just do my old routine. And unfortunately, I slept through the alarm and everything. Now, there was some hijinks and fun involved, which helped with my sleeping, maybe.
Sure.
Which is why I was in such a deep sleep.
A la Brownie Cup? If you don't know, we're talking about Brownie Cup, episode 2 with George Lopez. Download it, rate it, listen to it, love it.
Let me just say this. I love the Taco Lou dudes, and I will always play with them. I will never, ever eat any candy from them.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I can't trust their candy.
Makes me want to trust their tacos even more now.
Oh, bro, these guys, they do have Taco Lou. If you're ever in the Jacksonville Beach area,
awesome,
you gotta hit Taco Lou, because it is the best, bar none, and not even close. Or if you go to the Players Championship, they have a truck that they do tacos on 12.
Yeah, so great area.
It was crazy. And then the guys from the Chive were there, guys and girls, I should say, girls from the Chive and the guys from the Chive. I mean, it was just a party on the golf course that was phenomenal. And then I made a double bogey and slept through. And Maggie Rose, whose soulful voice, I would argue rivals Adele. Her voice is that soulful.
Big statement from a big music guy.
And I'm a big Adele fan too, and yeah. I would say Maggie Rose can go toe to toe with Adele any day.
Did you book Maggie Rose for the podcast so we could tell her this?
I hung out with her. I can, yeah. I can. I hung out with her a bunch on Thursday night, and then she had her whole band there for the concert, and I missed all of it, which kills me. It kills me. But I did meet one of the Fearley brothers, who now is an Oscar winner, and they auctioned off a signed script from Green Book and
oh wow,
and a walk-on role on a movie that went for like $15,000.
I bet.
Hello, charity, which was really cool. And he was a really cool dude, too, who was kind of into golf. And so, I mean, it was awesome, even though I missed Friday night. Thursday night was real cool, too. So
overall, great experience.
I would highly recommend, if you get a chance for the 2020, the Murray Brothers Caddyshack golf event, you need to go.
I know.
And I don't want no excuses.
Yeah, I'm going to get the dates from our guy now, and I'm just going to put it in to request it off.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. So are we done with you giving free advertising and talking about yourself? Can we move on to Tiger? We good?
Are you done being bitter?
I'm not bitter at all. Someone had to keep the network up and running. All right, let's get into Tiger Woods not playing Quail Hollow, Wells Fargo.
Here's what I don't get
about the Tiger crowd. And I've never understood this about the Tiger crowd. When he plays too much, the media dopes he's playing too much. When he doesn't play enough, he's not playing enough. When he's not contending in tournaments, it's bad he's not contending. The dude just won the damn Masters. Let it go. If Tiger never plays again, I honestly don't care.
Really?
Yes.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
You're lying.
The movie.
You don't care if he don't show up for the PGA Championship and goes, hey, you know what, man, I'm still enjoying this green jacket.
If Tiger Woods came out today and announced
he's never playing again,
I am good with it. I got what I wanted.
I don't believe you.
Tiger winning another major and at the Masters.
What else? I think you're scared he's going to make you cry again.
The movie's over. What do you want?
What do you mean the movie's
over?
The
movie's over.
Look, let me tell you something. Number one, just think about this. With Infinity Endgame, it's like you got to Captain America and then was like, hey, I'm cool. Shut it down.
I've never seen one Marvel movie. I don't know.
It's 22 movies. You ain't see one?
Not one. Anyways, move on. I don't want to get caught in that.
Dude, are you kidding me?
Podcast quicksand. So, I'm fired up today, Colin.
I don't believe that you're talking about you could care less if Tiger never plays again. Look, here's the thing. He didn't go to the Masters. That wasn't his first tournament of the year. He hit the sweet spot. He
played.
What's
it have to do with anything?
Because what's the goal for Tiger now? Jack, right?
It's always been Jack.
Okay, so if that's always
except for people like you.
What do you mean?
You never thought he was going to win another major, but go ahead.
True that. But, you know, look, I was wrong, and now I got to reassess. So if I'm going with what he's saying and his goal then is to catch Jack Nicklaus, then what's his MO going to be? Is he just showing up at the PGA Championship like, all right, I'm ready to win? You just showing up ready to win?
That's my point. He obviously is not – he's not gripping like everybody else. Everyone else cares more about what Tiger is doing than Tiger. The dude just won the Masters.
Okay.
Roll credits.
No, not roll credits. Not if he's trying to catch Jack.
I don't think he is.
Wait, what?
I don't think that he is as motivated by that as you are and the media is. I really, really don't. He wanted to win the Masters to prove to everybody that he could do it again and do it his way. Now, if you go up to Tiger and be like, would you like to catch Jack? He's not going to say no, but I don't believe he's burning as much to do it as he was when he was 25.
and you are sitting there, arms crossed like a belligerent teenager. Right? You look like my 12-year-old arguing that grass is green. Or my 12-year-old telling me he's really 13.
Michael,
because
life
been on this planet for 13 years.
Life has changed for this guy. He wanted to win a major for his – life has changed for him. And just because we want him to beat
Jack – if life changed for him, then why was winning that Masters all that important?
Because he couldn't walk 18 months ago and his kids didn't know what it was like for their dad to be on top.
Then it wouldn't matter winning the Masters or winning whatever. He won the Tour Championship. Why didn't he walk away after that?
And at that point, it was phenomenal. That was one of the greatest scenes still.
Okay, so he goes from not being able to walk to winning the Tour Championship and making the Ryder Cup. So what roll credits then? If that's true,
no, it's not.
He should have rolled credits then.
No, because this guy's always said judge him by the majors, and he got the one that means most to him.
You can't roll just credit. Say that first part there, dog. You can't just say majors are what matters, but Jack's number, that ain't no big deal.
But
say majors matter, then majors, it's Jack's number that matters.
What did you say before this argument? You said, yeah, but now that he's 1-1, I have to reevaluate.
Correct.
Tiger's been reevaluating since he went down. Like, for him to not show up at Quail Hollow, to me, says all you need to know about his mindset, period.
Which is what?
Which is, I'm not gripping anymore. I did what I set out to do. What else do you need to know? I mean, if he was really into this Jack thing, he'd be gearing up for the PGA Championship, which, by the way, is in 2 weeks.
Right. So why is he playing the PGA Championship then?
I mean, it's a major. He's gonna put a peg in the ground.
Show
but he's
up.
Not going to prepare.
He's just going to show up.
But he's not
going
to.
So what you're then saying is he's going to show up, but he's not going to be prepared to win.
That's right, because he did what he set out to do, which is how I started this conversation, which means Jack's record isn't the end-all be-all like it used to be. It is for you, and it is for Herrig, and it is for all the media guys.
Look, man, I'm just going off of him. I'm not even going off of me. Like, you're the one that said, you're putting your own thing on this. You're going, I'm cool with where he's at, and I'm satisfied, roll credit.
Oh, I talked to Tiger last night, roll credit.
This is what's killing me, because I had this argument with Pat Perez last night on the Out of Bounds show. But now I'm almost arguing his side as far as, like, him going to show up at a major thinking he's still going to win and contend.
But, what I'm trying to tell you is that anytime Tiger teased up, he tells you he's playing to win.
Right. But you don't believe it.
But not any. No, I believe that he is at peace. I really do.
Okay.
So, I believe that he's at peace with all of this.
So Tiger right now would be cool if he never wins again.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he has fulfilled everything that he has set out to do since he had this life in physical adversity.
So you think that Jack's number is now off the books for him?
I think Jack's number is there. I don't think he's chasing it like he once was.
So he's not chasing Jack's record?
I mean, yeah, like literally he's chasing Jack's record. But it's
you know what I mean,
It's not written in steam in his bathroom mirror, like, get Jack, 18, 18. It's not. He has 15. He won the very tournament where he launched his world fame after not being able to walk in front of his kids with his mother there in this field that people like you said was too good for him to be.
Here's the problem with that now, I think, for Tiger, is Tiger's past that. I think Tiger is now like, hey, man, there was a time when you couldn't walk. Yeah, I get it. There was a time I couldn't walk, but then I could walk, and then I could swing a golf club, and then I could play a tournament, and then I could get a top two, and then I could contend for a major, and then I can win the Tour Championship, and now I can win the Masters, and now it's I can catch Jack.
Okay, so then if
but here's my thing. This is where we differ. On a couple of steps, but let's start with Charlotte. I don't think he's fully recovered yet.
Recovered from what?
The Masters.
How? Like his liver from partying or no sleep? What are we talking about here?
Yes, yes, and yes. I mean, him and his agent both came out and said he's still just tired. And so that's all it is, that he's just tired. But
see, I don't understand.
I don't think he can see where Pat Perez thinks that he can just show up at the PGA Championship and be ready to win. I don't believe that.
What I believe is I take my cues from people that have given us 20 plus years of cues to take. And my cue from Tiger is that he's not ready to gear up for another major. And you might
and
see
that's
him,
why he's not playing Charlotte.
And you might see him do it for the Open Championship, but I don't.
Well,
he's not as aspirational as we want him to be for him.
Nah, and this is where I'm, as a fan of Tiger, this is where I'm cool with where he is right now. The less he plays, the longer we get to see him. And what I mean by that is, I think because he's not playing Quail Hollow, like, what's his schedule going to look like then for the rest of the year, you know? So if he doesn't play Quail Hollow, now what? What's coming up for Tiger? So we know he's going to play the PGA Championship, right? We know that he's going to well, we don't know. You would think he would play Memorial, and then he would play the U.S. Open. So he's playing three tournaments in like a 5 to 6 week span. And then what's after that? Well, is he going to play again at the Open? And is he going to play Memphis? So if he only focuses on the, let's say, the majors and the WGCs, is he not going to care about the FedEx Cup playoffs?
Well, we'll make sure to have Tiger clear his schedule through you first.
Coming up next, we have the man who is half of the team that won the Zurich Classic this past week in New Orleans. And wait till you hear how they celebrated the win, which is crazy. But first, I don't know, my back hasn't always been great. You know why? Because I caddied for a while. So have you ever heard of an inversion table? It's where you kind of hang upside down. Not kind of. You actually hang upside down. And it helps straighten your back out. Well, Teeter is the company. And they make something called a Teeter inversion table. And what it is, you do your decompressing on the Teeter inversion table for a few minutes every day. And, man, it's a game changer. When I was caddying, they had it out on the PGA Tour. I used to use it before and after every single round. And there are 3 million plus people that use Teeter and have been using it since 1981. It'll make you a better golfer. You don't believe me? All right. Try a Teeter inversion table. People who have them, 10% increase in driver distance, 16% increase in accuracy, and an average of 3 fewer strokes around. You're a golfer. Why would you want to have 3 less strokes around? You know, like, when you shot that 82 and you knew it could have been a 79, there, well, yeah, well, all right, no, you'd rather have an 82. Fine, you know. Teeter inversion tables have thousands of reviews on Amazon with an average of a 4.9 star rating. They have a special offer just for our audience. That's our audience. Listen, for a limited time, you can get $70 off a Teeter inversion table plus $100 worth of bonus accessories when you go to teeter.com/caddy, C-A-D-D-I-E. You'll also get free shipping, free returns, a 60-day money-back guarantee. So there's no risk for you to try it out. Try it for 60 days. See if your scores come down. See if you actually feel better before and after a round. Hell, if you feel better before and after a day at work, just try it. Remember, you can only get $70 off a Teeter inversion table plus free bonus accessories by going to teeter.com/caddy. That's teeter.com/caddie. That's your spine straightening out.
Welcome back to Maddie and the Caddy. Ryan Palmer in just a minute. But first, we all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats, the top source for tickets for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, look at the seats in the section and the row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats gives listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive 10% off your first ticket order to save even more money. So that's what you do when you download it at the App Store or Google Play. Download the Vivid Seats app. First-time customers, use the promo code GOLF. 10% off your first order when you use that. Every purchase backed by 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts to games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter the promo code GOLF for 10% off your first order. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. All right, he was a winner this week at the Zurich, paired with John Rahm. Ryan Palmer joining Maddie and Acaddy now. Ryan, it had been some time since you were able to take the ball out of the 18th hole and raise your hands up in victory. I guess first out of the gate, what was your immediate thought when you knew that you were winning another tournament?
Oh, man. I don't want to say relief, just finally. And I told James in his ear when we hugged, I said, finally, we got here. And it was just a sense of just accomplishment from all the work I put into it, the grind, the losing the putter for a couple, you know, then for 2 years grinding to get it back, and all the practice with Randy Smith on the putting, and, you know, losing Dad 4 years ago suddenly, the stuff with Jennifer and her cancer the last 2 years and going through all that. So you can't put into words what it felt like.
Yeah, you brought that up, and I did want to get into that with you about your wife and the battle that she had with cancer and how she was able to kind of just persevere through all of this. In that moment when you are winning a tournament, how much is that stuff flashing in your mind at this battle that your wife had to deal with that you were alongside her for?
You know, during a round, you don't really think too much about that because you're just trying to stay in the moment and, you know, you're still trying to complete a golf tournament, a round or whatever it is. But afterwards, it's just a moment of just going, oh, my gosh, we did it again, finally. And with her there and my son Mason, just made it all that much more meaningful. And I even told Jennifer that night, I just said, hey, you deserve this just as much as I do. And because of everything she's been through, and she's been such a stud at home, and she gets up, gets herself ready the last few years, and she's never complained about it, and just goes about her business like nothing ever happened. And unbelievable watching her go through that, and just the strength she portrayed, and just gave me that much more strength.
Yeah, what has she taught you in your kids through all of this?
Yeah, you just gotta just keep living, and keep just when you're down, you gotta just keep living your life. And I think if she would just kind of given up a little and not done anything, and I think the kids would have seen that, and the kids never really saw her down or upset or giving up hope or anything. And I think at the end of the day, when they're older, they'll be able to look back and just the lessons that they're going to be taught from this. They'll look back and see how special she is.
How hard is it for you to try and play golf during a time like that? Because I can't imagine – everybody understands – the commitment, the focus that it takes to be on the golf course and be out there trying to grind and get a win and be successful and whatnot. How do you balance that when you have so many of those, let's just say life, when life happens like that, like when you lose your dad and Jennifer gets diagnosed and then she's going through all her treatments and whatnot, how do you stay positive on the golf course?
You know, that's just our getaway. It's my getaway from, I guess you could say, reality. Is inside the ropes. I've got four and a half hours to kind of just not think about anything, you know, and just play the game of golf. And, you know, I cherish those four and a half hours even more today, just to be able to go out there and just do what I do best. And I spend those 4.5 hours just not thinking about anything else but the game of golf, because I know when I'm done, you know, it's back to life and back to reality and being a father and being a husband. So that's just kind of the way I approach it, and just cherish those moments when I'm inside the ropes.
after looking back and hoisting that trophy with John Rahm, and you look back on the week, what was the hardest part?
Besides catching a bag of Skittles in my mouth,
I was gonna bring the Skittles up
We'll get there. No, I'm kidding. But hardest part, just staying in the present. I mean, we were in such good command of our games, and it just never was a doubt in our mind, or in my mind, that I don't see how we're not going to do this. The way we're driving it, our iron play, we were both putting solid. I played great Thursday. He played unbelievable, great golf on Saturday afternoon. And then our alternate shot formats, we knew we were going to shoot low rounds because we're both playing well, hitting well, putting. And it's just a matter of just staying in the present, not getting too far ahead of ourselves, knowing what was ahead. But I think that once I hit the shot on 17 on Sunday is kind of when I just kind of said, this is going to be fun. You know, never got to walk up a fairway with that big of a lead on the last hole.
How would you describe you and Rahm as a golf couple?
As a golf couple?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's closer to my son's age than he is my age. You know, just that's a hard one. I don't know how I could answer that one. Just the bold and the beautiful.
How did the pairing come about?
Say young and restless.
There you go. You know, I obviously played with Jordan the last 2 years, and he played with Wesley Bryan. And, you know, I knew Jordan wasn't playing this year, and Wesley having shoulder surgery. And I knew John for several years now. We played numerous rounds of golf together. I had him at my charity event last year, which he was so thankful to be a part of and loved every minute of it. And then, you know, we were out in Palm Springs, and I had a couple guys I thought I wanted to play with James, and John was one of them because I knew he didn't have a partner. We know Adam Hayes real well, his caddy, and he and James are close friends. I thought, how fun would that be, take both our games, the way we both hit the ball, and to this format. And I sent John a text and asked what he thought about playing with an old man in Zurich, and he checked the schedule, and now here we are.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned your caddy and John Rahm's caddy, Adam Hayes, your caddy. I can't believe James. Your caddy, James. Yeah. Well, I forgot James's last name.
Edmondson,
yeah. I'm sorry. I just call him as James. I never call him by his last name. But anyway, James and Adam, what was the Skittles deal between the two of them and you and John Rahm with y'all having to eat Skittles?
Well, so Thursday we were paired with JB and Bubba, and you know, they had their little knick-knack thing. When they made birdie, they threw the ball around the horn, having fun, which is all fun in games. We know that. And then so an eight, I told Adam, I said, watch this. I make this birdie for an eight. I'm throwing you my putter. We're going to throw my putter around the horn. And so we did that. And so it was just kind of, you know, fun. We all laughed, had a good time with it. So we got 10. And Adam tells the story so good. You know, he got some Skittles because his kids love Skittles. And so John chips in on 10. And he goes, oh, and, you know, just the excitement. He goes, here, let's have a Skittle for that one. I was like, Skittle? Sure, let's have one. So we go on birdie 11. I go, hey, Adam, let's go. Skittles. We want birdie again. Let's go. And then it just turned into, you know what? Adam, let's go get a Skittle. Let's go get a Skittle. And so that was the thing. Every time we got to the golf course, all right, Skittles, baby, Skittles. And everybody made, we ate a Skittle. So it took a life of its own and kind of made it a lot of fun.
Please tell me someone in your camp or Rahm's camp has called the people at Skittles and said, let's sign these guys up to a deal.
Well, we'll see. We've definitely tagged them in Twitter and everybody on golf channel, the radio, they talked about it. So if we can't get done from all this, then there's no hope.
Well, if you don't get a deal from Skittles, at least you'll get a deal from some dental office talking about why it's important to brush your teeth after every round of golf.
You know what? Just send me a bag of Skittles. I'll be happy.
That's better than going to the dentist. So let's see. John Rahm, you pair with him and you win, and that had a lot to do with James and Adam being close friends and you guys as well. But the Jordan Spieth pairing before that, how did that come about?
Jordan, have been friends for quite some time now. You know, obviously when he first got on tour, you know, he called me about a bunch of things and just we became close friends. And so when the tournament was decided to have it, you know, we were I'd always thrown the idea at Jordan, said, let's play Zurich together. It'd be kind of fun for an Aggie Longhorn. And, you know, I think the story going around out there is how we played Trinity Force one day, and James pretty much told Jordan, if I beat you today, you get to play with Palmer at Zurich. And James did play good that day. And so, you know, we had a good chance to win that first year at Zurich. But, yeah, it was two fun years with Jordan. And like I said, scheduling conflicts, you know, he wasn't able to play this year. So, I guess that was a good thing for me.
What are you gonna do next year now? Because Jordan might be like, "Hey, look, can we put the band back together?" And you're gonna have to go. What?
Sorry.
Yeah, like, hey, I don't know. I won last year.
You know what? Hey, I'm sorry, but they are expecting us and recommending we have to go play together again. I'm sorry, I have no choice.
Okay, I don't know what you want me to do, but the tournament made me do it.
Yeah, there you go.
I lived in the great state of Texas for 5 years in Dallas, and so I know what it's like between Aggies and Longhorns in the midst of one of your rounds. What kind of conversation are you and Jordan having? A&M Texas fun like most Texans do?
No, not really, I'll be honest with you. We never really engage. I mean, we can talk about the football teams, obviously, but as far as back and forth banter amongst, we never really had any, I guess you could say. So it was never too much. I mean, I'll tease Mary once in a while, I'll tease me. So those kind of fun antics, I guess.
Well, both of you poor knuckleheads are Cowboys fans. How you feeling about your Cowboys after the draft?
Who'd be draft?
That's a great point. They didn't have a first-round pick because they dealt it for Amari Cooper. I mean, you got to be happy with that, right?
You know, actually, we're just excited about the team we got. You know, they're young, and they're going to be fun to watch. All that turmoil going on in Philly, we're not worried about them anymore. So,
turmoil?
No, I'm kidding.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, y'all get rid of your controversy, quarterback controversy, I guess. But, no, it's good. It's fun. It's going to be fun. You know, I see Washington Giants drafting two young quarterbacks and Carson Wentz coming back healthy. The East could be – the NFC East could become another good division to watch. So, we'll see.
What I'm interested to know, too, is as you're a huge NFL fan, but you're also – you're pretty good friends with Coach Sean Payton for the New Orleans Saints. You guys have played golf together as well. Who is the coolest football name that you've gotten to play golf with, not necessarily in a pro-am, but just overall?
Coolest football. Yeah, it's hard to have chances of being around, you know, the great Thurman Thomas in it. Played with Drew Brees or Sean. But I tell you what, Brett Favre this past week was pretty cool. You know, getting to spend a day with he and Coach Payton, obviously But Brett was one of the most down-to-earth, good old boy guys. I didn't expect him to be that way. And, you know, we had a lot of fun together, and we got to pick at him a little bit and just chat about everything.
Was he golfing in his Levi jeans?
Or his copper top socks?
He didn't have any copper or Levi's on yet. And look, like he just kind of got off the ranch and was ready to play golf. But, yeah, I tell you what, that boy could – suit up tomorrow if they ask him to.
Yeah, how is he in shape? I mean, can Favre still sling it? Can he play golf? What's his deal?
He's probably more fit now than he was when he played, I bet, from all that stuff he does. But he hits the ball pretty good. I wasn't about to ask him to throw me a football. That's for sure. But,
really?
He's a – oh, yeah. He put a hole in me.
See, I always thought – most times, if guys play with quarterbacks like Marino or Favre, they almost always, or Montana, they take a football with them just to say that they got to play catch with those guys.
Yeah, we dropped the ball on that one. So, we'll maybe one day again, I'll let him throw me, pop me in the head one day.
That just goes to show how confident you are with your catching ability that you didn't want to take a football because.
Oh, I wouldn't have. I said, right here, throw it to me, and I guarantee you it would have gone by.
So, I mean, you're a Texas guy, goes to Texas A&M. I mean, that in Texas, it starts in 7-on-7 all the way to high school through college. How did a Texas kid go golf?
I started playing golf when I was 9. I played every other sport. You know, I've actually played football through 8th grade and just kind of decided, you know what, I really don't want to get hit anymore. And wouldn't be honest about it. I wasn't the biggest guy. But, you know, just kind of went baseball, basketball, and then quit those around freshman year in high school and stuck with golf. And I seemed to keep getting better each and every year that I played. And, yeah, still living the dream.
Do you ever play with Romo when he was with the Cowboys?
I played quite a bit with Romo back here in Dallas. He a good friend. I see him at the gym a lot together with Dr. Van Beezen. And, you know, we get out and play as much as we can. And he loves the challenge. He loves to play with us. And he doesn't want shots because he wants the challenge. And I tell you what, he's probably one of the more hardworking guys I've ever seen that is wanting to get better so bad. And it's going to be fun to watch him see what he does at the Nelson next week. But, yeah, he's a lot of fun to play with, and we get out and have some good games.
All right, so there's always the debate, and I'm glad that we've got an actual pro golfer on and not the guys that want to be pros. But we've always debated, like, whether or not if Romo put it all in golf and, like, Steph Curry went all in golf, could these guys have a legitimate pro career as golfers?
Starting right now?
Right now, today. Right now.
No, I don't think so.
See?
I just think they're good players and they go out and play great, but I don't think the outside world, I mean, they know how good golfers are, but I don't think they know how real good golfers are on tour. There's a difference of being good and being tour good. I could tell you that. Michael, I think you can probably agree to that.
Yeah.
It's a different game. You hear guys saying, I got to grab my club. I can shoot 68 every day. I go, yeah, but can he shoot 65 every day on a hard golf course, knowing that the best in the world are doing it as well? You know, it's just different. It's just different. And Tony will tell you, he's been there, he's seen it. And, you know, he has the confidence he can go out and at least play good. But deep down, it's going to be interesting to see how he does this week. But it's just a different game. They just, you know, they need. Hard to say, but I don't see it happening now.
I 100% agree with you. Look, I can hit a three-pointer at Golden State's practice. I can make three-pointers in practice. I'll probably make two if I got to play
Like
4 minutes.
Yeah,
you put me in a game, and so the pro golf game, shooting 68, shooting 68 for one round, that's good. But having to do it for four rounds and then having to do it 3 weeks in a row, completely different. It's just, it's like you said, it's a different thing. What now, it's been so long since you got to hold a trophy, and now that you got this trophy in hand, what's going to be the best part? Number one, what's the hardest thing going forward now that you got this win? What's going to be the biggest adjustment? And then what's going to be the best thing about now getting back into the winner's circle?
You know, there's little things just amongst your peers. You know, obviously it'd be fun seeing everybody, but you know, one of the better back in the winners category of tee times, and it took forever to explain, but you know what I'm talking about there. I was going to go back to Maui.
No, but you tell people about what it matters getting good tee times.
Yeah, so it's designed. Technically there's like three categories: your A, B, and C category. Where your A category is your tee times anywhere from 7:45 to 8:45, 9 o'clock. That's your winners category. If you're in the category I was in, I was teeing off first off every day on my morning round. That's 7 a.m. tee time. And then the afternoon tee times, you're anywhere from, you know, 12 to 1. So your schedule's better as far as eating, sleeping, and you're playing with the winners. You're playing with, you know, you'll get paired with Tiger Woods. You get paired with a Sergio. You get paired with Rory. I mean, it just depends on who's playing that week. You're going to be in the field. And you're going to be paired with these guys who have won the past few years. And just makes it you know, when you're in those groups, you get more confidence, and you just kind of you go about your business better. I mean, as far as the hardest part, it's just staying in the moment and not getting too ahead of myself, expecting to go out and play good now just because I won. That's the one thing I told myself these last few days is, you know, it's time to get back to work. I don't want to go to Nelson and just expect to play good. Mm. And so I expect myself to go to work this week, get back to grinding, and get my mind ready to play next week and with no expectations. And, you know, I'll have the confidence my game's in good shape, but just not expect it to happen automatically just because I won.
And speaking of because of that win, I'm curious, we like asking this question, how many cold beverages and red meat went down in celebration?
Well, the funny thing is, the best thing about the whole celebration was we had a police escort to Popeye's Chicken on Sunday night, and then had Popeye's on the plane home. We had to get up. I had to be in Dallas for a charity event Monday.
Oof.
So we had Popeye's Chicken for dinner.
Wait, what was the look on everyone's face in Popeye's when y'all pulled in with a police escort? You know, did they think they was getting robbed by a bunch of rich people, or it's Louisiana, and y'all are like, yo, Popeye's, hurry up, grab biscuits, do what you got to do.
There's a couple of people, and they're going, what's going on today? You know, like, oh, it's a little golf tournament. We have two cop cars flashing and three courtesy cars pulling in. Because John Rahm did the same thing. We all went, it was like a three-car police escort, and our first stop was Popeye's Chicken pulling into there, getting a bunch of chicken to go. So it was pretty comical thinking that. So we have some good meat this weekend made. I'll just be cooking out this week on my Traeger.
Caravan with a police escort, yeah. A caravan into Popeyes.
That's as exciting as anyone's ever been going to get a Popeyes after anything.
That's the best that plane has probably smelled, too.
Oh, man, can you imagine that, just the stank of that thing getting off?
Oh, a friend of mine's plane from Dallas, you know, flew Jen and my son and Mike Chisholm's wife, Julie. And so I called him. I texted the pilot, you know, Monday night, said, hey, just send me a bill for cleaning. I don't know what we did to it.
There's just debris everywhere. Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the win this weekend. Very happy you were able to get out there, get a win, and get yourself back in the winner's circle.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys, and we'll see you soon.
That's going to be one of my favorite stories about the police escort into the restaurant. Much like we had talked about, you know, if we'd bunk together in a crime scene to play at Augusta four straight days, which restaurant would you demand a police escort to get to not have to deal with anybody or anything?
Well, see, it depends. Where am I? Where did we win?
Okay. You've got to make everything difficult.
I'm not trying to make it difficult, but look, I'm not going to go to the same spot in New York City as I would in New Orleans.
All right.
Right? Like, you wouldn't either. Or if you were in Miami, you're not going to the same spot as you would if we were in Phoenix. Like, if I won Phoenix, let's say we win waste management, police escort, in and out.
Yeah, I was in and out was on my top.
Because it's right around the corner there, too. So everybody has to get to see that caravan go busting the in and out like that, you clearing out space.
So if I'm keeping it local with New Orleans, and we get a police escort, which means you get to break all kinds of traffic rules and speeding rules and red lights, I would have the police escort take me to Baton Rouge and go to a place called Ruffino's in Baton Rouge.
No, I don't need to go there. I'm going straight downtown, Acme Oyster House. No ifs, no ands, no buts.
Really?
Oh, what?
Yeah. Are you an oysters guy?
What? Only in New Orleans. I will not eat
oysters.
Now,
do they know you pronounce their city like that?
Nawlins?
New Orleans. I can't even say
it
how you say it.
I was trying to say it properly, but look, let's be honest. When I'm down there, it's Nawlins. It's Nawlins.
New Orleans.
I said New Orleans.
Yeah.
I said New Orleans.
They know that?
There's like 12 different ways you can say it, but the real way to say it is Nawlins. So.
All right, so back to your oysters.
The only place in the world where I eat oysters is Nawlins. So, because they got the best. And crawfish. I will only eat crawfish in Nawlins as well, and it's got to be at my friend's crawfish boil.
I don't do
but
any
I
oysters.
But I suck the head and everything. I don't care.
We'll edit
and
that
And I'll
on
do
the podcast.
All the oysters, fried, char-grilled, and raw.
No, I don't do that. I don't do the oysters. It's
and then
like,
don't walk across the alley when you come out of Acme after eating all them oysters. Oof.
eating oyster. I've had it once, and it was just like snot running down the back of your throat.
You didn't do it right.
What do you mean?
Were they raw?
Yeah, it's like when you go to an oyster bar. They said, "Well, how do you eat them?"
You got to get a saltine cracker, then you put the oyster on the cracker, then you put a glob of horseradish on top of that, and then you put a little bit of hot sauce on top of that.
That sounds hideous. Oh, and I like horseradish and hot sauce. That's why I like my shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, you can put a little shrimp. You can put cocktail sauce on it as well, but I just like straight horseradish.
So snot on a cracker.
Nah, bro, that's not. It's not snot, yo. And you don't just have you ever tried to swallow a saltine cracker whole?
No.
Okay, so you don't just pop the saltine cracker with all of that in your mouth and try and swallow.
Yeah, you got to actively chew it up, which makes it worse.
No, it ain't. That's where you get the flavor of the oyster, and then pow, the horseradish hits you like an uppercut. You know what I mean? Your eyes start watering, your sinuses clear up. Then it's the snot that helps you swallow the rest of it because it's gliding after that.
You are a comic book character.
I'm an oyster connoisseur in New Orleans, and I hit Acme's. Drago's is good because they're char-grilled oysters, but like if you're straight up, it's called Acme Oyster House for a reason.
Okay.
But that place right there is – I took my 12-year-old there when we did our daddy trip, and he's the same. He did 24 oysters alone.
Oof. I tell you what, though, there's nothing – there isn't a bigger food roulette on the planet than oysters.
But that's why you only trusted in New Orleans.
It just takes one. It just takes one.
Well, it's like that with people, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can't have condoms for oysters.
You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas unless it burns when you pee.
And
you learn your lesson, too.
That'll come back with you.
I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I'll take my chances with oysters because I know that'll clear up in a day or two.
Oh, like, look at that. We just put it out on 18. Hey, what's your schedule this week of not doing anything? What's next for you?
Man, you are hating.
What do you got?
I got a golf tournament to play in on Monday, and then I'm going to Dallas to MC and play in Hunter Mahan's Foundation's event.
That is a good charity.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that Hunter Mahan is in Dallas. Yeah,
I've been a friend of his for a long, long time. He's someone we also need to have him on the podcast
because
his golf story is phenomenal. And I tell you what. I've had some really good conversations with him, and his brutal honesty about what it has been like for him, partly because he comes from a place that I come from as far as being an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, his story about like being an only child and now being married and having a kid and how much of a big adjustment that was to his golf life. And kind of what he's gone through it's a really interesting story. So
yeah,
I can't wait to go hang out with them and just have fun. I'm spending a lot of time with some Cowboys fans, boy. Let me tell you.
Well, you go do your thing and continue to collect the paycheck. I'm going to be hosting SportsCenter. I'm going to actually be doing the job that I'm paid to do. And
we'll
go from there.
I have an app and I have my equipment with me everywhere I go. So if you want to talk golf, I can jump on SportsCenter with you anytime you want to.
Oh, good.
But apparently, you know, you're too busy with the whole NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs. And like you said, I don't care if Tiger never tees it up again. You better care if you ever want to talk to me on TV again. I need Tiger to play.
We have high ratings we're trying to maintain on the weekend, sir. We have a standard to get into our club.
I got a jacket I want to wear and everything.
For the caddy,
Michael Collins.
I am the Maddie. Thank you for the listen, download, rate, subscribe. Our unintended hiatus is over. You're welcome, America. This has been Maddie and the Caddy, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to Maddie and the Caddy. Check out more great ESPN podcasts in the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Maddie and the Caddy.